Amen. Well, it's so good to be back home here. We had a great mission trip to Haiti. I know this past month was a very strong missions month for our church. We had members of our church that were able to go and travel to Kentucky and serve the Lord there on the GAP mission trip. That's an annual trip that we take every year. And we'll hopefully, Phil, I know you're here today, we'll hopefully hear some testimonies over the next few weeks from GAP. I'd love to highlight some of that. Also, Nancy Evanson is back from India. She's back with us today. So good to have Nancy back. Amen. This time I'm going to invite up all the surviving members of our trip to come up on stage. As they're making their way up, I want to introduce somebody that was very key in helping us get to Haiti and to make it all work out. Samantha Kinghorn was our team leader on this side of the island, just helping us get all of the documents ready, all the forms filled out. We could not have done it without Samantha's hard work. She works full-time, basically, over at SeaWorld and really volunteered a lot of extra time to come over to the church and to make sure everything was in order for us to get there. So I just wanted to just thank her for her hard work. And amen. I'm going to let her share first about our trip.
Good morning, guys. This team behind me is really what made the trip. This is my third time going, first time I was a student, second time I led a small group, and this time I got to lead a group of 13. And I couldn't have asked for more in the leadership that David and Ben helped me with. Just going out and being able to see all the changes Mission of Hope has had. Every year that I've gone back, there's something new and something great to look forward to and so many changes that are happening in the lives of everybody. But most importantly, I think on this trip, it was to see the lives of our students and see how they impacted and how they took in this trip. And that's what, for me, this trip, what was highlighted the most is seeing the change in everybody's lives and how it was affected by everything in Haiti. So thank you guys.
Hi, I'm the one who touched the goat. I was told I had to talk about planting trees, so that's what I'm going to do. While on our trip to Haiti, we had the opportunity to plant fruit and vegetable trees for the people in the village of Fovo. As we were a group, we were given 22 trees to give to different families along the road. And we had groups of about five. We split up into two groups, and we had translators with us to help us communicate with our families. And so by providing these families with these plants, we were giving them food and shade, which you need a lot of in Haiti. And just giving just this small little plant, these families were so happy and grateful, and they had the biggest smiles on their faces. And it was something that you can never forget, just to see people so grateful for such little things in their life. And you don't see that in America. I mean, we have so much here, and we're grateful for the big things. And they're just so happy just for this small little plant that some random people gave to them. But the best part was that we could plant these trees in the name of God, and we could spread the gospel in such a unique way that I've never done before. So it was great, and it was a big experience just for me, and I know for the whole group as well. It was one of our favorite discipleship programs that we did while we were there. And just planting those trees shows how great God really is just in our lives and for all the nations of the world, and we all can't wait to go back.
I'm Daniel. Why do we do mission trips, especially if we live in a mission field all around us? This was a question that somebody, Ben, decided to dump on me after we got back from Haiti, which haunted me for the next couple of days. When I was originally asked to speak about my experiences from Haiti, I was going to talk about the worship and the heart of worship, Now, we had some amazing worship in Haiti. Being able to see the Haitians worship and us worship in two different languages to the exact same song at the same time was pretty amazing. But anyway, after thinking about it for a while, this came to me. I could talk about the heart of worship, but that wouldn't be what's really on my heart. So I decided to address the question, which had been weighing on my heart for a while. And while I was thinking about it, I noticed that both topics weren't actually all that disconnected. Let me start explaining like this. We recognize the church as the body of Christ, with Christ as the head of this body. We know that all of its parts have different functions, but it is the function of the head to direct all the parts of the body. When Christ directs us to do something, which is what we refer to as a calling, it is our job to respond with a heart of charity. When the Lord calls us into another part of the world, whether it be elsewhere, which already knows the gospel, or a barren wasteland, which has never heard the name of Jesus, one of the things he's doing is pulling us out of our comfortable norm and showing us that he's showing us himself in a new environment. If we get to share the word with somebody, great, but I'm also starting to recognize, after almost a solid month of mission since I was supposed to be able to go on both mission trips, that he's furthering the growth of something inside of the individual when we enter the mission field. So while I did very much enjoy both mission trips, I can see that God was showing me that an individual focus on him is greater than anything I did or could have done. So why do we go on mission trips, especially when everything around us is a mission field? Because we're called to go. And while it is still our choice to stay or go, it is our responsibility to respond to the calling with a heart of worship and obedience.
Good morning. Today is also a pleasure for me to come in front of the church and talk about my experience that I have in Haiti. First, I want to thank God for giving me this opportunity to go to Haiti, to go serve with the Mission of Hope. I go to Haiti so many times for my own pleasure and my own purpose, but this time there was for Jesus. And that was a great experience and awesome. What else I got? I get to meet my new brothers and sisters in Christ, and actually I get to know those brothers and sisters better than I usually know them in church. For the past 8 days, I say thank you to Lord, thank you to Jesus, for giving me this awesome time. And I have one verse I have to show with you guys. It's in Romans 9, I'm beginning verse 2, and I'm gonna read verse 3. I wish I could. That I myself be cursed for the pain of my brothers, those of my own race. Thank you, Safolendo Baptist Church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I had a lot of fun on this trip. I may not have been a lot of fun on this trip, but I had a lot of fun on this trip. One of the things that I enjoyed most about this trip was getting to see the simple places that we got to walk. In our culture, we tend to walk at such a high pace. We move so quickly. We're here one place and then gone the next. We've jumped from one hoop to the next hoop to the next hoop to the next hoop. And by the time we've made it back to the bed that we woke up from, we have spent an entire day and never truly encountered anyone. Haiti caused me to slow down, to begin to take moments and face not only the people I work with or was working alongside, who were an encouragement and a joy the whole trip, but it also caused me to pause and to see the people who I was walking around. The gentleman who allowed us to plant a tree in his yard. The voodoo priest that I hope David will tell you about in just a moment, who we got to share the gospel with. The young woman who didn't have a job but had two children, looking to support them both. An 80-year-old woman who was coming to visit her friend in Fovo. In our culture, we move so quickly, and we often forget that we are surrounded by people who are separated from Christ. They can be our family members. They can be our friends. They can be our co-workers. They can be the person sitting next to us at the next table at a restaurant we go to. Haiti slowed me down and challenged me to see the people in front of me. As much as we got to see people who were in need of Christ, as much as we got to see people who were desperate for the word, we also found people who were an encouragement to us in their own walk because they had walked 80 years and had spent a lifetime in a relationship with Christ. We met a young couple in one of our we met a couple when we were doing some survey work. And in the midst of this very difficult, very depressed, economically depressed village, they adopted children, sharing what meager resources they had so that they could bless the children who came into their homes and share the gospel with them, the greatest resource that we have at any given time. Church family, how often do we look around us at the people next to us and share the gospel? How often do we look at the people we pass by every day and spend 5 minutes to ask them a question that would change their lives forever? For me, this was the challenge of Haiti. And I hope that in the stories and the moments we've gotten to share with you this morning, that these same challenges would come to rest in your heart as well. I thank you again for your support as a church family. I know that we would not have made it to Haiti without you. I thank you for the support of the groceries and supplies that you brought to the church to support the mission. And most importantly, I covet and I thank you for your prayers. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for all the support you gave us in a trip that will literally impact our lives for the rest of our lives to come. Thank you.
At this time, since I'm a little long-winded, I'm going to invite our team to go sit down. And thank you all for coming. I just want to close with a few words of the experiences that I encountered in the trip. Again, what Ben was saying, we all as a team want to say thank you to the church family. We know it was a large investment for us to go and to take time and visit this beautiful island nation. What I wanted to share, Ben mentioned briefly during our door-to-door outreach when we were doing the strategic village times, we were going door-to-door and my translator looked at me. And we had been sharing the gospel from house to house, and he gave me this look of a little bit of fear. He said, the next house we're going to is the house of the voodoo priest. And he just said, I don't know if he'll even let us talk to him, but we're going to go and try. And so I gathered some students up, and the translator said, let's pray. Let's just pray that God will give a door, an open door, and allow for the gospel to be shared. And so as we neared this man's home, we looked in front of his house, and out in front of his house were all of his wives, his multiple wives. We stepped up to him and introduced ourselves. Without going into the other questions we've been talking about with the other homes, we went immediately into a discussion about the gospel. And I was the one that was speaking to him. I was praying as I was talking to him. He was very defensive, very proud of voodoo and what it had done for his life, and very secure in that system. And we just began to gently talk to him about his need for Jesus Christ and ask him if he had a personal relationship with Jesus. And the things he said disturbed us. He just said, you know, I can't have a relationship with Jesus. There's a spirit in my life that tells me I cannot do that. And so I began to encounter in my words with him, everything that I was saying through prayer was just direct scripture. Because in those moments, it's not really wise to get into a battle about why to follow Jesus or what it is we believe. But as you unleash the Word of God has an effect on hearts. So we just began to go back and forth. I began to listen to him. He had a lot of stories that he shared. And he looked at us one time very proudly and said, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe in all of these things that you've said. This is just what I've chosen to do. And so he felt that in that belief, he was secure. And so the verse that the Lord laid on my heart was James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. And I just said, you have the same faith the demons have. The difference that you need is you need to know Christ as your Lord. You need to obey him as Lord of your life. And I fear, even as I share that verse in this service, there may be people in this room that maybe your theology is fine. Maybe you believe in God and believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. But your faith is no different than that of the demons that are aware of those things. You're not following Christ as Lord and obeying him and growing in that relationship with him, letting Jesus lead you. We finished up. He did not receive Christ that day. He was very open to it, and I was talking to the people at Mission of Hope about this, and they said it's very common for them as they encounter voodoo priests that there's resistance. They were very proud that we had an open opportunity to share. We were able to document the place using GPS locations so that they can go back and follow up. But they were giving me a testimony of another village. We were breaking ground in a new village. And they told us, the leaders of Mission Hope said, you know, in another village, we encountered 11 voodoo priests. All 11 of them today are followers of Jesus Christ. They've all given themselves to Christ. So they just said, as you go home, be in prayer for him. Be in prayer. We're going to go back. We're going to keep talking. That he talked to you at all is a beautiful thing. And so that was wonderful. We were breaking ground in a new village. Most of the people we encountered were plugged into a good church. They were involved somewhere. The ones that we encountered that were not believers, we were able to share the gospel in full to each of them. And it was very common. I learned this later also from Mission of Hope. They all expressed they weren't ready to follow Christ. And we would ask them, why aren't you ready? What is keeping you from following Jesus? And so many of them just said, I don't know what it is. I'm just not ready. And so I again was able to talk to some of those at Mission of Hope, and they said, that's very common. As you go through and break new ground in new areas, as people hear the gospel, it takes a lot of times, repeated times, for them to hear it before they will respond. And it's the same here in America. Evangelism is a process. It's not something where we just go and in 5 minutes, someone who's never heard about Jesus, we share Jesus, they accept. It's very rare that that happens. Usually it takes multiple times of someone pouring into them and explaining to them who Jesus is before they will have a readiness to receive Christ. But this is something that we were surprised by. We began to talk to those who were believers. I began to ask them about their lives, and one of the questions I always ask is, if you were to die today, do you believe you would go to heaven? And the Haitians had an answer for that that surprised me, but this is a very common answer in Haiti. They just said, only God knows. And so I would ask them, how sure are you if you were to die, you would go to heaven? And they would say, no one can be sure. Only God knows. Only God knows. And so we began to open the Bible, and I showed them a verse in Scripture where I said, you know, the Bible wants you to know for certain that you can go to heaven and have that assurance. Let me show you that verse. So church family, let me show you the verse I showed them. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 John 5, verse 11. If anyone is to ask me, David, do you think if you were to die, you would go to heaven? I want you to know, church, according to the Bible, my answer is I would be 100% certain that I would go to heaven if I were to die. And the reason I can say that is on the trustworthiness of God and his word. And so as you open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, many of you know this passage. This is one we were able to go over with the Haitians. And every one of the Haitian families I was able to share this passage with, they were very, very thankful. Very thankful after we shared this. In verse 11, it says this, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." The Bible uses the word know. When you know something, church, you don't hope it. You don't think it. When you know something, you know it. And you can, on the basis of that verse, by faith, say, that means that's speaking of 100% certainty. David, how do you know you're going to heaven? I know I'm going to heaven because my faith is in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection for me. It's totally in him. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, my life is found in Christ. It's hidden in him. And I know I've done exactly what the Bible says I need to do for heaven, that I have the Son now. He's come into my life. He's given me a brand new life. He's living in me, changing me. It's not a doubt to me or to others who have known me. And based on that, the Bible, John writes this and says, "I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God," that's Jesus, "so that you may know that you have eternal life." Friend, do you know today that you have eternal life? Has your trust been placed in Christ? Are you hoping you're going to heaven? Do you think you're going to heaven? Are you 50% sure, 60% sure? I want you, based on the Word of God and based on your faith in Jesus, to be 100% sure you're heading there because of what Jesus did. And there was a lady that I shared that with, and she just said, "Haiti needs more people like you." She just said, "Your team has been such a blessing to me." It encouraged her, and she was able to have that knowledge of salvation. And I just told her, it's not only God that knows. You can know now, based on your faith in Christ, that you're heading there. So I share that with you just as an encouragement to you as well, if you're struggling through that. The final thing that I'll share in closing, there's a lot of takeaways from these sort of trips. The one takeaway I enjoy the most is the fellowship that deepens. I knew these guys before the trip. I really got to know them on the trip. I mean, you really get to see somebody when you're in a mission field and there's no air conditioning for like 8 days and no one's sleeping right and the food's a little different. And it's like, man, whoever a person is, it just comes out. And I was able to see that. And I'm like, I still love these people after the trip. So that was fun. We all got to know each other well. We deepened as a family. And it's a prayer that I pray over this church, that we deepen in our love for each other, that we labor together in the field that God's placed us in here in Orlando to share that gospel message. And so the other takeaway I would say from a mission trip like this is we come home having experienced, everyone on the trip experienced opportunities to share Jesus. And the prayer was, the command was, as we experience this, as we understand the ease of sharing the gospel, let's bring that home. Because here we are in America, a place that desperately needs it. We are in Orlando, a city that people all over the world are dreaming to get to. And we're right here smack in the middle of it, right in one of the busiest roads of this city. And we are surrounded by the nations that need the gospel, that need Jesus. And so this is something that I wanted to share with you as we go through the return home. We were talking about bringing that home, and I got a text message the next day from Zach Umbarger, who I'm thankful survived the trip with the spider on him. We got back, and this is what he texted me. The very next day, 11 a.m. the next morning, we've not even been back in the country 24 hours. He says this. He had a dentist appointment. He says, "I talked to my dentist about my Haiti trip. I showed her pictures from the 2012 trip since I hadn't uploaded the new ones yet. And then I led that into witnessing to her. And I learned that she goes to a church and that she accepted Christ about a year ago. So I asked her if there was anything I could pray for her about, and she said yes and told me, and then I asked her if I could pray right then and there, and she said yes. So we prayed, and she had the biggest smile on her face when we were done, and we both went on about how good God is." Church family, that's the take home. Amen. There's a passage that's a burden verse on my heart for all of us in this room. Let me read it out of the English Standard Version. It's Philemon 1, verse 6. And it says, "And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." There is something about sharing the gospel that grows our knowledge of God and grows our love for Christ. And we understand more about Jesus as we share him with others than we ever did without sharing him. Let me share how the NIV words that verse. In Philemon 1:6, it says, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have the full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." I am praying that over us, that we will become active as a church in sharing the gospel so that we will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. There's a joy that we experience on this trip in just sharing the message. And it's a joy that, as we were talking about it on the trip out of the book of 2 Timothy, there's a passage there that talks about the joy the farmer shares in the crops. As we're in the harvest fields of the Lord, as we get to share in the crops of the harvest of his kingdom and seeing people coming to faith in Jesus, there is a joy in that that nothing else comes close to. And so that's my heart and passion for each of us in this room, that we would grow to have a burden for lost people, and that burden would lead us into places where we would open our mouth and declare to them their need for Christ and be that witness for them. There's an excitement there. You think your job's boring? Take Jesus into your job and see what happens. You think you hate going to school? Become a witness there at school and see how exciting school can become. Wherever you've been placed, you think your neighborhood's scary? Start sharing Jesus and see the brightness God can bring into your neighborhood through the sharing of the gospel. That's my prayer for us. Now, maybe the case is we're closing here, that you're here today and you don't even know this Christ. You don't know Jesus. We want to provide in every gathering we have as a church an opportunity for everyone that comes in the room to hear of the love of God in Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here today and if you need a relationship with Christ and would like for someone to counsel and talk you through that process, please, as we stand in just a moment and sing as we close the service out, we invite you to come forward and just say, I would like for someone to explain this to me. I need to get this in order in my life. I really want to get things in order here. It might be that as you saw Gabriel get baptized earlier, you realize in your life you need to follow Christ as Lord and be obedient to his command to get baptized. If you've neglected that and put that off, and maybe the Holy Spirit's been drawing you towards obedience, this would be a great service to step forward and say, I want to get baptized. I want to be a part of God's work right here. If you want to be a member of this church as we close and do our invitation, you can step forward and say, I want to be a part of what God's doing. I'll tell you what, this is a special church. We were the only team there out of 300 people that were there with Mission of Hope. We were the only team that brought along our own translator. We had Qtel there who speaks Haitian because he was born there. We have so many nations right here in the room. And we just have such a dynamic witness that we're able to take wherever God leads us as a church. It's a beautiful church. And we invite you to join in and be a part of it. Let me close this in prayer. And before I bow our heads, close our eyes, it might be the case as you've seen this, heard the testimonies, there may be someone in the room that the Lord's speaking to you and drawing you into full-time Christian ministry. Maybe it's to preach. Maybe it's missions. If you're wrestling through that as well, as we have our invitation, if you would come forward and just let me know, that way I can just pray over you and pray for God to help you through that process. Let me pray, then we'll have our invitation. Father, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you for the reports we've heard from Haiti. We thank you for a church that cares about missions and taking the gospel to the unreached. And Father, we pray that you would increase our desires to spread the gospel. I pray that you would give us a confidence, a zeal, with knowledge, that we would lovingly take the word to those that we are surrounded by, and that you would give us conversations, give us burdens, and give us people that we can pray over, that they too would know you as we have come to know you. Lord, we love you, and we love our salvation in Christ. We thank you that while we deserved hell and your wrath, you came for us in Christ and you saved us, transferring us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. May we be the bearers of light as a church. May we not be silent, proclaiming you, that we would see your glory displayed in new Christians, that we would see moms and dads that right now are in their homes, unsaved, that they would be joining in the chorus of the worship in this room, praising you very soon because you're working in their lives. Father, bless us. And may we see these miracles happen right here in this room. We trust you for this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.